theme which I often felt part of when back in the day of outside broadcast location reports for the Midweek Drive, I was doing a non-stop 8-hour radio show from a funicular lift in Saltburn. Up and down all the time, going up and down, quite literally, in motion. Much like A Billion Tuesday Mornings by Nathan Wellman, and now actually features in its cast Tim Chu, Lily Holliman, Peter Gray-Lewis and Tracy Winters. Yay!
It made it!
It just shows the power of the Midweek Drive, very important. Much like American Dream Team used to be. What? We're talking about the joys of a Waddington Air show, of course. Remember Darren Scales, of course, in the studio, due to return next week. Darren's in the studio again next week. Scales.
Cool.
Talking about a whole heap of other things. When we were RAF Waddington, one of the Midweek Drivettes who was with us is online now. And I can't believe, even Natalie Tuck said, you know, we like this. In fact, Natalie's, you can't just line up with the fairly self-effacing little number that went. So, for those people who are actually interested, yes, so if anyone is interested, I'll be doing it. It sounds so... Jodie Orton, what's happened to your American exuberance and joie de vivre? Has it been beaten out of you by those London folk?
I think I have, you know.
No.
Say, but... Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Positivity. Come on.
Send it to me down the phone. I need it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, who knows, Emma, when you're back down in Surrey, we might hook up and you can meet one of the Midweek Drivettes, sort of, you know, founding mothers,
yes.
Basically. Yeah. she used to refer to the Midweek Drive babes. I said, no, Drivettes.
Yeah.
You know,
babes
I don't
is
no,
too
I think
much.
Babes is always good.
No.
No.
Too saucy. Yeah, I think so.
Well, sorry, that's me all over.
In a different reality, who knows? That's the important thing. Jodie, it seems like only yesterday that you were actually graduating with honours from the American Studies programme, which now no longer exists in Lincoln.
I know. That's
so
poor
sad.
American Studies. I feel very, very disappointed about that still, even after, you know...
Yeah.
A year and a half after graduating, yeah, that was definitely, you know, the making of me. It was my American degree, you know, studies degree.
I like to feel
and Siren FM.
Well, there we are. Yes, and you know, we're gradually easing Emma and Jessica into some of their location reports. We're down at Beaver Castle, hopefully on Saturday. Well. Two of us might be, three of us might be possibly, we don't know. It all depends on relations and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But as I said, you had the experience, obviously, at Waddington Air Show. You had the funicular lift experience.
Amazing.
Well, yep. There we are. So, I mean,
you're going up and down.
All the way. Yeah. Consistently working through that. We're even thinking, it was suggested by Ed Wellman, this is a sneaky sort of line for Phil Dearness, we're thinking of actually doing another Myathon or event, a broadcast-a-thon, maybe 24-25 hours non-stop.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's amazing. Hard. I think it's about time, Alex.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I've done three
so.
Of them in my life. I've done two, 1:33 and a third one, 1:25 hours and 2:24 hours. Yeah, 1:24 hours. Was it two? I don't know. You see, obviously, I'm forgetting the whole sort of system now. I'll just press the reality button. Emma, questions for Jodie about life, the universe. She works for a very stylish firm at present, but she might be the... Who knows? We can't even talk about that, basically, but, you know, it's... You know, anyway, over to you.
Yes. So, Jodie, tell me, where has life taken you since graduating from your American Studies degree?
Well, before I graduated, pretty much when the ink was just drying on my final assignment, I moved down to London, and that's where I've been ever since. I was lucky enough to get a job, with a very stylish company, doing administration kind of work. But as Alex will tell you, when, you know, during my degree, I wanted to be a writer, and that's what I'm still.
And she's a darn good writer as well, actually. Are you still blogging, my girl?
Well, I haven't done for a couple of months, no. Ooh. But here's an exclusive for you. I have been writing a novel.
Ooh.
My life and times with a Saltburn funicular lift.
What's the novel about? Is there a certain genre?
Well, it's a dystopian novel. So those of you studying literature should know what that means. But
or science fiction,
viewers,
utopia, dystopia, yes. Dystopia, utopia.
Utopia, yeah. Basically. Yeah. It's set in a very, you know, not particularly nice future.
Hmm.
So, and that's as much as I can really
that's
tell you
right.
Killing you, I'm afraid.
Yeah. And of course, Jodie Orton, like yourself, Jessica, and your good self, Emma, was born in the 20th century. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice. You know,
it is quite phenomenal that actually this whole show has been brought to you by people who were born in the 20th century.
Sometimes
scary. That's always good to know, isn't it?
It is. Now, and Jodie, obviously one of the reasons which prompted us to get back in touch with your good self was you met up a young man, a musician, who'd sort of quite like to feature. We will feature, but do you want to give a little plug now before, obviously, we sort of do the usual routines of contacting his people and speaking to them and coordinating all the rest of the bits and pieces?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was working for the American Dream Team, you know, we spoke to...
You brought train.
...different people.
We train on board.
I did my best to get train on board,
well,
yes.
Yes, yeah.
But they agreed to it in principle, so that's a good one for me.
And you've come up with Henry Facey. I thought it was a made-up name. Yeah. Surely it's like Mr. Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah.
Henry Facey.
No. Very, very, very talented young man who I met while sitting in a pub in very close to Leicester Square.
Ooh.
And yeah, I just thought, you know, sometimes these.
I know, Jodie. I know.
Helping hand,
Jodie, so. You probably said, Henry, I've got contacts in the industry. Stay with me, son. You're all right. All right. I'll have a word with those siren people. It's the East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. You'll be sorted. Sorted.
Yeah.
That's the way I got her accent as well, though.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
So I thought he would be perfect for you to have a chat with on the midweek drive. So I look forward to hearing.
Well, there we are.
Henry on the radio.
The critical thing, of course, is the views of Emma Tinson, as Cameron Tilbury's actually found her over the months, really, that she's been working through that. Because ultimately, it's a case of will Henry Facey get the Emma Tinson seal of approval? So we're going to actually hopefully pull up his website now to sort out details. And this could be quite critical in terms of the way forward. But we're through to welcome to henryfacey.com. Emma, of course, will respond for that.
This I like is the website.
Everything it's happens. In my online world, discover my EP Entropy, songs for everyone, everywhere, and a new single called Intertwined.
Yeah, he does have an amazing voice. I think he will go far.
That's splendid.
Well, you heard it here first.
Well, there we are. I mean, and we can actually sort of see him performing in the London area, blowing in the wind. We won't be playing that for you now because it'd be too much of a tease. And we don't know. Yeah. I mean, whether it's blowing in the wind, it could be a tribute to beans or consumption of such, but no. What can we say? Phil Lynn is coming up next. And Jodie has actually been to Los Angeles and sat in on a Chill Park Hollywood show. With Phil Lynn.
I'm jealous.
And Dean Haglund. Yeah. Dean, of course, who's moving to Australia because he realised that all those years he could never live up to the one show you did over in Los Angeles, Jodie, with the Chill Park Hollywood team, which is there. So you're working through that.
An amazing experience, yeah. Ooh. But I'm very keen to ask him, actually. I have heard rumours that the X-Files is coming back.
It is coming back. No rumours. The rumours can be put to rest. It will be back.
Excellent.
It will be actually receiving its world premiere, as Phil Lynn is revealed on Chill Park Hollywood this very week, just after the American football, importantly put the American in front of the final, in January. In January next year.
Wow. I look forward to that.
The new That's series really does return. So great news there for Gillian Anderson, who's been working quite hard, of course, being the mother in the Mads Mikkelsen's Hannibal series, and a whole heap of other goodies, of course. David Duchovny, who's also been working quite hard, and the rest of the team with Chris Carter. So they're sorted through. It is returning. Which brings us now to those last two questions. Jessica, would you like to bowl them to Jodie Orton?
Jodie, have you enjoyed the show on the midweek drive today?
Yes, I've had a reasonably interesting discussion.
She knows the words and everything.
She's got those things sorted out. She's got
experience.
I'm myself then. I forgot my place.
No. It's very good. And the next one is?
Will we be hearing from you in the future?
Most definitely, yes.
Do you ever come back to Lincoln, Jodie, or is it a case of why would I? You know,
very occasionally, yes, I do. So, during his time,
we might swing down to London.
Wednesday or Thursday, I shall look you up.
And
if anybody's ever in London, then please say hello.
Well, Sci-Fido, the canine equivalent of science fiction London, first Sunday in June.
I can't believe this exists.
It's the canine equivalent.
Yeah, the canine equivalent. It's the canine equivalent of Sci-Fi London. I shall pull it up for your good self. Quite literally,
sort of like canine cosplay.
Yes,
type thing.
Quite literally, canine cosplay. Nice answer. I'll put that. And we will be having a midweek wrap. Minty Steed has already been speaking about some of the exciting things we'll be putting into our events for this. So let's move into Sci-Fido, the official dog show of Liberty. This is happening Sunday, the 7th of June. Quite unbelievable.
Fantastic.
But with Louis Savvy and maybe
sounds interesting.
Jody will come along to actually see this whole routine. You can bring your dog dressed as a famous film, TV book, or comic star character.
I'll bring my cat dressed as a dog. How's that?
Yeah.
Ooh,
radical, I think that could work.
Radical. No, I don't know. It could end in carnage. You know, I wouldn't want to endorse that. You know, I would not want to endorse that. Jody Orton will return.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire? And as we sang the words inside the sound, and so we'd sleep, for we had dreams to keep.
So, Emma, what do you think? Truth seeker or director? Director or truth seeker?
Let's go with director.
Oh, I think Harry Chapin would have approved.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there. Director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil!
Yes. You know, I've just realised probably why Jane Southall refused to answer the telephone. I'm only kidding, Jane, but I actually had a misspelling. It's obviously the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, not the Lonkinshire Agricultural Society. You know, sometimes you think, what's going on with the world? Never mind. Phil Leonis, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Have you enjoyed the production so far? And we're delighted to say that, as confirmed by Jessica and Emma, Lily Holloman has now been restored to the cast of A Billion Tuesdays.
She has indeed.
And that, as I said, confirms to me that you had the IT person come in and teach you how to delete the files.
No.
The computer, the history, the browsing history, which is what happens. I mean, this is an important thing for people to realize. You need to constantly refresh the files and the history in your computer because you may indeed be getting old websites, old websites. So it's a public service announcement from your friends at Siren FM. Listen, I want you to know I emailed David Dean Bottrell, the founder and creative director of SciFest, asking him specifically about what I think you were referring to in Frankenstein, because believe it or not, there was not a quote-unquote Frankenstein play based on the book until 2011, believe it or not. But there was, in 1823, by Richard Brinsley Peake, Presumption or the Fate of Frankenstein. And so I wrote, how is that not the first science fiction play, David Dean Bottrell? And his response was, Frankenstein, never heard of it.
Secondly, we can go with that.
Secondly, indeed, as Lily pointed out, it's a one-act theater festival.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's the first one-act that he could find, although between you and me and everyone else, please tune out for this. Really what we mean is first science fiction one-act in the English language, because you can find in other cultures, for example, going back as long ago as the 1500s, there were Japanese plays, short plays, dealing with the concept of time travel. So, you know, it's English language theater, and again, it's one act, because I would actually argue that if you were going to do full-length productions, certainly if you want to talk about the origins of science fiction, you could launch The Tempest, for crying out loud.
Exactly,
the basis
precisely.
For all mad scientist
stories.
And there were early adaptations, were there not, of Gulliver's Travels on stage, involving aliens and all this. But on the other hand, said, you know, Alex, nobody likes a science fiction nerd. So...
The play! Oh, I did that a few weeks ago. We were together. The play's the thing where we catch the concert or something. Anyway, I've been moving into a whole new zone now with respect to the whole system of.
But I do. There's so much excitement, though, because really, how great will it be for SciFest to come to London? That seems to be just beautiful. Of course, it'll be using local talent, local directors, but the material will be shared. So that audiences on both sides of the Atlantic will get to enjoy the same scripted words, but of course interpreted in entirely different ways. So that's very exciting, and there has been a surprising amount of science fiction theater, certainly in the 1900s, and you know, no less a luminary than Ray Bradbury worked regularly in theater. In fact, he owned his own theater here in Los Angeles up until the time of his death, and he was regularly for decades writing original theater pieces as well as theater pieces adapting some of his best works.
And meanwhile, Penny Evans has just sent a friend request to Jodie. Nice to hear, Penny. That's very good. Exactly. It's just so cool. In case you're wondering where Jessica's gone, because I know using the all-seeing eye and the orb that you actually have in Los Angeles, you might think, where's Jessica actually? Jessica's currently escorting in the team for the Stone Tapes, comprising David Howe, Sam Stone, for whom we named the show after, obviously, the Stone Tapes, Sam Stone, and Fraser Hines and Patricia Ash. She, either that or she's gone off with my mobile phone, she's walking around outside.
Stolen it.
You'll be able to hear this probably week on Thursday. That's really time for the episode to be transmitted. Unless, of course, we have a huge disaster and we have to do something completely different because it is going to be a pre-record. Anyway, that's a bit of routine. We've got about 10 minutes to go before we begin to hand over to the fabulous Rebecca and the amazing Siren and lifestyle program. So, Phil, as Jessica comes and rejoins us in the studio, is everybody happy, Jessica?
Yes, they're just waiting for a few people.
That's all right. So they don't want to speak to you, Phil. That's okay.
That's fine. I want to share with you a few ideas, Alex. But first of all, you definitely, as Lily said, when the sketch comedy team of Charles comes to those shores for Edinburgh Fringe Fest, you need to get them on the show. These guys are absolutely brilliant. This one act that they did in Outer Space of Moby Dick is also a mashup and a parody, a satire of every single space movie ever made. And the way they work in the specific reference to Wrath of Khan is through a crossword puzzle on stage, and it is terrifically funny even though you see it coming. So you need to have them on the show. I love the idea of the marathon, of the broadcast / podcast-a-thon, but I was thinking, you know, maybe we, and yes, I'm including myself in it, maybe we should make ourselves the Navy SEALs of broadcasting and podcasting.
The Navy SEALs of broadcasting and podcasting.
Yeah, because the Navy SEAL, we invade your homes.
Yes.
We take over.
Uh-huh.
But their final training, their final before graduating the program, is apparently it's a week of maneuvers, and they are allowed to sleep for a grand total of 3 hours during that week. So right. I think it's nonstop broadcasting and podcasting for one whole week with 3 hours of breaks.
That's a bit of a task.
I think we might have to sort of, you know, negotiate a couple of pieces there. But we'll think about it. Maybe between the two of us we could do it, sort of between that side of things. Yeah.
And finally, you know, yes, Dean Haglund's going to be leaving to Australia. We have several pre-records planned to cover the transition. And we are going to have a couple of special shows where we introduce for the first time ever guest hosts. Guest hosts that are going to be spun off into their own podcast eventually, that we will be producing, one of those hosts, Solomon. And it seems perfect to me that we get the Concord to be the sponsor of their show. What do you think?
Well, in your dimension, Phil, highly likely. In the rest of reality as we know it...
In my dimension, where we have non-existent sponsors already, it will be perfect.
We love our sponsors. Without them, what would we do? I don't know. Anyway, thanks on behalf of Southside Broadcasting, at least to Pharma Nord Nutritional Supplements. There, he said it shamelessly, but anyway, apart from that, move on. Could mention Roseville Homes, whatever. So yeah, interesting spin-offs, because of course Stone Tape's the seventh show that's actually spun off from the Midrick Drive, if you sort of calculate various things, the American Dream Team being one. Of course, we have Sound and Nick's Vision.
Yeah.
We have the Inspired On Air series. Even Richard Keeble's Behind the Headlines originally started on this very program, from that point of view. It's moved on now since all sorts of those. Let's not wallow in the past. Let's move forward to the future. Any other sort of highlights?
How many years of the Midweek Progress have there been?
I think around about as the Midweek Drive in a format, obviously the successor to the Media Matters production, which lasted for a good 18 years. I think we've been going for about 8 years thereabouts.
Oh wow,
so 8 or 9 years. So
it's amazing. We're Midweek Drive babies, really.
Not babes.
Just babies.
I never knew where Jodie was going with that one. I mean, I thought, Jodie, please, you know, you didn't go. Mrs. Pankhurst, Emily, and so on didn't go for the whole thing. Just to actually, it's Midweek Drivettes. Not as in the Rock City Rockettes of New York, etc., but not the Midweek Drive Babes.
No, too far.
Well, I find this fascinating, Alex, that the Midweek Drive, therefore, has existed virtually, without even knowing it, virtually in lockstep.
I know.
With Philpack Hollywood.
It's so scary, isn't it, really, when you said, 2007, what a great year that must have been, you know? In more ways than one, but still, there we are, across the Atlantic.
What a great year it must have been. What a great year. We were there.
I remember it well. But of course, that was the Atlantic Ocean, and what you said about the Atlantic, I nearly had to break my car. You know, I had to sort of say, what's he said? It's a treat. It's a treat from this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour. I won't say how many minutes in, basically, but it's after they're sharing with Dean his sort of experiences of shifting over to Australia. Anyway,
I love always listening, as you know, to Arthur Weingarten, and I loved what he was talking about in terms of music, and it's not his music, and so all of it tends to sound the same. But I would like to say that, one of the things I really admire and love about young people that I meet and come into contact with and work with is the way that they are taking advantage of having this full range of history of music at their disposal through the internet and through technology to really explore that full range of history. I mean, on almost a daily basis, I am blown away by the connections young people can make and do make between music of different eras. And it often will just start as simply as by following a band that they love and then researching who their influences were. I really think it's very exciting. I don't think that younger generations are like us in terms of saying that, that's not my music, so I'm not interested in it. I think more and more they really embrace the idea that this full legacy of music belongs to them. And one really fun little illustration of this. Young man, about 17, 18 years old, we were watching TV. We saw Kevin Spacey perform a Frank Sinatra song. And I didn't think he would know the Frank Sinatra song. Indeed, he did not. But he said, that's the perfect song for Kevin Spacey to be doing. And I said, why? And he said, because that song is in the same key that Kevin Spacey speaks in.
Cue the universe.
And I was blown away.
Before this odyssey ever began, there was you, your best friends, and wide-eyed curiosity among you about who would be the first to leap, the first to forget, the first to kiss, the first to tell, the first to fall, the first to get back up, and the first to remember that it all began with a dare to love in spite of it all. Is that you, Murgatroyd? I remember the glint in your eyes, all three of them, the universe.
Smashing. Okay, sorry, we're just getting a little bit of confusion because Jessica, we're looking ahead to the next show. It's very convenient. We may have two of Sam Stone's guests outside, which is wonderful. We might have the fabulous Patricia Ash and the amazing, the talented Fraser Hines. But as you haven't got photo IDs, you wouldn't know, would you, Jessica?
Nope.
It's very confusing, this. I don't know why I agreed to actually go into another hour slot. Sorry, Phil, we just had to bring in the universe there, but hopefully, as ever, he encapsulated the moment.
Well, it's fine, because I'm getting in touch with the powers that be at Southside Broadcasting to see if we can go a half hour long today. Because I haven't even scratched the surface of my notes.
Mm. Never mind.
Can we do that? No,
is the short answer. Because otherwise, the Siren Lifestyle people would actually just go crazy.
They would be
in riots.
Devastated.
There'd be carnage in the studio. There'd be, panic in the streets of Lincoln, panic in the streets
Siren
of Siren
FM civil the, war.
Dreadful scenario. Anyway, the great news is that Sam Stone has now arrived. David Howe has actually arrived. And Fraser Hines has also arrived, because they've all come together and all sorted out. You'll be able to hear them, of course, a week tomorrow. Anyway, that's a wrap for our part from our particular perspective. Whom would you like to ask the last two questions, Phil? Would you like Jessica? Would you like Emma? Would you like both? Because it may be their last show. Who do you wish to?
No favoritism.
Why not both? Why not both? There's two questions.
Exactly.
For
so who
you can go first. If
go on.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Phil. Mm-hmm. Are you paying attention?
Wait a minute. That's a third question.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, of course. I enjoyed it.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yeah, I'm staying on for the next, half hour, 45
minutes. Well, we look forward to that. Yes.
We'll leave the last word with Penny Evans, the haunting Penny Evans. I actually find young people enjoying songs from old musicals when I perform them, even though I'm always saying to myself, oh, this won't go down well.
Aww,
of course it
bless.
Will, Penny. Always. Yay. And that's it. To Jessica Ward and to Emma Tinson, thank you. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Lily Holliman, Jodie Orton, and Phil Learness. That's a wrap. Keep on keeping on, regardless. The Midweek Drive back tomorrow morning with the Midweek Drive morning edition, strangely enough. Can we say bye-bye?
Goodbye.
Bye.